Luke 6, verse 37 to 45. Jesus is talking here, he's teaching, and he says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." And he spoke a parable to them. Can a blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Now, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So we're going to look tonight at... I'm going to talk to that guy for sure. Perfectly trained disciples. That's what we want to look at tonight. Perfectly trained disciples. Jesus said there in verse 40, tonight, starting in the middle tonight instead of at the beginning, I wanted to go to the middle just to bring this out. But Jesus said there, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Like his teacher. My father taught me how to play golf. Now, my father is by no stretch of the imagination Tiger Woods. But I learned to play golf like my father played golf, which was not very good. But I was as good as my father was, which still wasn't very good. We counted out how well we did when we played golf, not by keeping score so much as how many golf balls we lost. And if in the adventure of trying to find our golf ball in the tall grass of the woods, we found more, we were ahead. It was a good game of golf. But the thing is that you can learn something from someone who doesn't know it well themselves, but they can only take you to where they're at. They can only teach you so much. They can't take you into territory that they've never been into themselves. A disciple is not better than his teacher, but he's going to be like his teacher when he's perfectly trained. I'll put that down. When he's perfectly trained. Perfectly there means completely trained. Like the Word of God. The Word, this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God will be completely furnished to every good work. We are perfectly trained, and by Jesus, who is our teacher, we will be completely furnished to do every good work according to the Scripture, according to God's Word. Now, this might be a really fast lesson. We'll see. But there's three things that I want to point out here in this being perfectly trained. First one is knowledge. There's a certain amount of knowledge that goes along with any endeavor. Anything we're learning, obviously the knowledge has got to be poured into us. We have to gain the know-how. What to do? What do we do? What do you expect out of me? The teacher gives a lesson. Here's some homework. If the teacher doesn't tell you what she expects or he expects, how are you going to do the homework? You see, you need to know what to expect. And so, being perfectly trained comes with it knowledge. The second thing that comes with it, that adds to that knowledge, is desire and skill. With the knowledge we have skill, the ability to do what we've been asked to do in the right way, in a good way. How do we do it? We know what to do, but now we need to know how to do it. And then comes desire. And in desire, I've put that in the category of having the will to do it, the desire to do it. Certainly, a doctor on the freeway, a car accident, he knows what to do. He's got the skill to do it, but does he want to do it? And he might just keep his knowledge and skill a secret to himself, not to get involved. I think it takes all three of these things. It takes knowledge, skill, and desire. And in this lesson, I think that Jesus gave us all three of these things. He pointed all three of these things out to us. So, if I say anything that is confusing to you, make sure I clarify it. Don't let me get away with anything. First of all, let's talk about the knowledge. Back up in verse 37, Jesus said, "Judge not, that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, that you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom, for it will be measured back to you the way you measure it out." So this knowledge is a simple statement of facts. Have you noticed that? Person was, don't judge. Well, I know that this can be confusing sometimes. Are we to judge or are we not to judge? I go down to the school, the elementary school, and I act as a science fair judge. Now, is that something I should do or not do? It says, don't judge. That's not what he's talking about. There's actually three levels in the Greek word for judging. There's three tenses to this. The most severe is what Jesus is talking about here. We have the less severe, the choosing. You go, you sit down at the restaurant, The server hands you a menu, and you look at this menu, and you judge, according to all the things on the menu, what it is that you want to eat. You choose by judging. That's not what I want. This really sounds good. So that's what I choose. By judging all the alternatives and all the options, then, we pick what we want. That's judging. That's not what Jesus is talking about. There's another form of judging that's a little bit more serious, when we determine what's right and what's wrong in our own actions especially. We determine what is right and what's wrong. We have to judge, discern the spirits to know whether they are of God. We are to judge those who teach us to see whether or not they're teaching us the truth. We're to judge these things. Now, in that judgment, it is the conclusion of the judgment. If we conclude that this person is a bad teacher or this is an evil spirit, we're to stay away from them. That's all. Just stay away from them. Walk away. Get away. The third level of judgment is actually related to condemning, but it is judging someone unworthy. Jesus said, don't call your brother a blockhead or a fool. Well, actually, it's empty blockhead. Don't call your brother that. That's the same as murder. When we judge someone unworthy, that's the judgment here that Jesus is saying, don't do. Don't do that. Now, it's hard for us to determine that when all we have is the English word judge, and it's translated from three different Greek words that have different meanings. So that's why I wanted to point that out. But the second one there was, if you don't judge, then you won't be judged. That's kind of a nice promise. That's good knowledge to have. The second was, don't condemn. Don't condemn or judge somebody unworthy. And in that condemnation, I talked about this some time back. We don't want to be condemning. What are we going to do if we're not condemning? Obviously, that don't condemn is a negative side of that. We need to have a positive side. We stop doing one thing, we got to have something to replace it with. So if we're not going to be condemning, what are we going to be? What? Restoring? That's a good one. I like that. There's three things I came up with. Engaging, welcoming, and understanding. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to agree with them, but you should at least welcome them, engage them in conversation, and try to understand where they're coming from, rather than condemning them as whatever it might be. But these first two, the judging and condemning, do have an opposite side. That's what Jesus brought up next. He said, rather, forgive. And I'm going to take that forgiving and I'm going to hitch it to the judging. You know, when we condemn people, that is pretty much the opposite of forgiving. Isn't it? And the last thing he said was to be generous. You see, give people the benefit of the doubt. Extend them some engagement. Extend to them some conversation. Extend welcoming attitudes toward them. Take time to listen to them. Be generous with what you have. And it doesn't cost anything to talk with people. Really, it doesn't. This knowledge that Jesus gave us, I think, is just the beginning of this perfect training that he's talking about. Because the fanatics, the hypocrites, they're going to judge and they're going to condemn. It's going to be hard for them to forgive and it's going to be hard for them to be generous. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about being generous by giving and being open to other people, gaining understanding, giving them time to listen to what they say. So, the fanatics are going to be judging and condemning, railing on people. You've heard them on the radio. I know you have. I don't listen to them anymore. But this knowledge, if you can't grasp this, I think what Jesus is saying, if you can't grasp this little bit of knowledge, he said it's like the blind trying to lead the blind. How are you going to bring somebody into an understanding of being forgiving if you don't grasp the concept yourself? It's like the blind leading the blind. There it does it again. It's like the blind leading the blind. He said, and they're both going to fall. Both of them. Because they don't know where they're going. The first blind man trying to lead the second blind man can only take the second blind man as far as he knows. And all he knows is blindness. But we can see like Jesus sees. Bible tells us, by the Spirit of God in us, that we have the mind of Christ. Did you know that? Paul says, but you have the mind of Christ. You can see things and judge things as Jesus does. That's knowledge. That's the knowledge part. Now that you know these things, you'd be happy if you do them. Here's where the question comes in. How do we use this knowledge? So what? I mean, I learned some things in bookkeeping in college, in accounting, 102 or 201 or whatever it was, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not ever going to use this. So I dropped out of that class. But here, this knowledge that Jesus is talking about, how are we going to use it? How can we put this stuff to work? Well, here's where the skill comes from. All right? Here's where the practical application hits the road. Verse 41. I'll put it up there for you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the plank that's in your own eye? Verse 41. This is where the skill comes from. It is the ability, the willingness to understand ourselves. Now, I think that this is really important. Now, we're kind of talking about this on Tuesday nights, too. But it's really important. How do you like to be treated? How do you like to be treated? Let's just say you've done something goofy and you've embarrassed yourself. How do you want people to respond to you when you do something that is embarrassing? You want people to laugh at you? That doesn't matter. Is that what you want? That's the question. Because when it comes down to now witnessing somebody doing the same thing, are you going to respond like everybody does to you? Or are you going to respond the way you would like to be responded to? That's why we need to look in ourselves. We need to know ourselves. What about when you get caught doing something you shouldn't do? You know, the hand in the cookie jar thing. How do you like to be treated when that happens? That's how you treat somebody you catch. When you said something wrong, you're sure you were right. I know I'm right. You can find out you're wrong. How do you like the other person then to respond to you when you say, yeah, I was wrong? That's how you respond to people who are wrong with you. You see, if we like to have patience shown to us, we need to extend patience to other people. We need to look to ourselves first. One of my favorite psalms, we get this put up somewhere on the wall. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. The wisdom of the prudent, the one who knows how to live before God, understands what keeps him from living in the right way before God. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So, let's look at this concept in verse 41. In 42, Jesus said, how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck that's in your eye when you've got a plant sticking out of yours, a log sticking out of yours? How are you going to do that? I remember one time I had an infection in my eyeball, and it hurt bad. But before I knew it was an infection, I went to the eye doctor, and he had this, it felt like this, pair of pliers things that he just kind of went in there and bang, opened that old eyeball, eyelid up, and then he took a fire hose and washed her around in there. And, oh, and now I'm thinking it didn't hurt bad before. And he said, I can't see anything in there. And it certainly didn't feel any better. Then he found out that it was infected and it was swelled up. Well, I tell you, a sore eye is not something to have. But when we look at this principle that Jesus is teaching us, this is where we get the skill. This is where the skill comes into with other people. How easy, answer this question, how easy is it to find fault in other people? How easy is that? I mean, it's easy to say, that person's hair is not combed. Or their shirt's buttoned off one button. Or they missed a belt loop. Their shoes are untied. You see, because we're looking out. We see everybody more than we see ourselves. We stand in front of the mirror in the morning, in the evening, or whatever. We make sure we're presentable as best as we can see from a mirror. But we can see other people a whole lot clearer than we see ourselves most often. And isn't it true that you can find fault in other people easier than ourselves? It's easy to find fault in other people, right? Certainly it is. Well, all you've got to do is apply that skill to yourself. We know it's easy to do, The point, the object, the subject of that should be ourselves and not other people. This is where Jesus is talking about the log or the plank that's in our own eye. Look at your situation first before you start looking at other people's. So we talked about the condemning and the judging, the forgiving, and the being generous. This is the being generous part. Looking at myself before I look at other people. Am I as bad as that? Is there something in me that I'm not seeing that everybody else is totally aware of? We need to apply this finding fault, this skill we have of finding fault in others, we need to apply it to ourselves. And this is where we gain the skill, by learning log removal. Now, we've got this log, this plank in our eye. And from my experience at the eye doctor, I didn't like him rooting around in there with his fire hose and stuff, but I submitted to it because I thought he knew what he was doing. And it turned out he did. I said, there feels like there's something in there, so he started looking for it. There wasn't anything. But I learned that you don't like to have people rooting around in your eye after things. What we need to learn, the skill that I think Jesus is trying to get us to learn is, how does it feel when you take a log out of your own eye? How does it feel when you're convicted of something wrong in your life? How do you feel when you find out that what you thought was perfectly okay now really isn't okay? How do you feel? Now that when you get that, how do you feel? When you get that locked in your brain, remember, other people are going to feel the same way too. When you've gained this skill of learning how to remove a log, then we can help other people. That's the fourth thing that Jesus talked about. We can assist in speck removal. It's like we're agreeing to be our own guinea pig. You know? If I find a fault in somebody else, I know how it is to have your faults pointed out. I'm not talking publicly, but I'm just talking one-to-one. It's not good. And one of the first things I want to do is set up a defense about, hey, wait a minute. You don't understand. Wait, you ain't got all the... And I want to put this defense up. And I'm sure other people are going to do that too. Even if the pastor comes and talks to you, that's going to happen. Well, because I've been my own guinea pig, I know these things are going to be. And so when I go to help someone with a speck removal, I know that there's some gentleness that needs to be in place. I know there's some patience that needs to be in place. And I know it's not going to be an instantaneous change just like that. It's going to take time. I need to be patient with them and help them to be patient with themselves. You see, that's where the skill is achieved. In this, you learn how to touch gently. That's the wonderful thing. Because we're using ourselves as our own guinea pigs. Look to your own heart. Be a prudent, wise, prudent individual and understand your own way. Understand how things work inside of you, because that's what's going to give you the ability to help other people. Well, here's where the desire comes from. Why would you want to help anybody? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to point out somebody's fault? Why would you want to? Why have people pointed out your faults? True or imagined? They want to make you look bad? Huh? Sure. Want to make you look bad? Want to get an upper hand? Want to show I'm better than you are? Trying to get some kind of control thing going on here? Or even a dependence thing? I'm the one who tells you what to do. Don't do anything unless you check with me first. That kind of a thing. Well, those are all evil, the evil side of getting your nose into somebody else's business. Personal glory, power over them, control over that individual. But the good fruit comes when we talk to an individual, like the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 6:3, you who are spiritual, if you find someone who's overtaken in a fault, confront them. I better read it now. My brain's getting a little atrophy. Galatians. I know it's Galatians 6:3. I know it is. But I'm going to read. Am I thinking the right one? Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Now listen to this concluding phrase, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Pay attention to what's going on inside of you. You who are spiritual, you need to do it with gentleness, because sometimes it takes a gentle touch to restore someone back in the fellowship with God, back into usefulness of God, to restore them, to bring them back to their former usefulness with God. It's for their good and edification that we do these things, not for our own good, not for our own benefit. So it's that good fruit that comes from a good treasure. As Jesus said, the evil people, the evil person, brings forth evil fruit out of the abundance of an evil heart. That's where it comes from. But when you have every other person's best interest at heart, you're going to produce good fruit. It's going to be good for them. Good for them. You can be like Jesus. How many believe that? You can be like Jesus. You can be. We have the mind of Christ. God has planned for us to be conformed to His image. He said, those disciples who are perfectly trained will be like their master. And there is complete training available. And we've got a tutor, too. We've got the Holy Spirit. So there's nothing that you need that He's not going to provide if this is what you want to do. The more you want to be like Jesus, the more you want to accomplish this perfect training to be like your master, God's going to give it to you. He's not going to hold back anything. So this is the final thought till after the new year. Let Him make you like He is. Let Him make you like He is. He was like us, but He wants us to be like He is.